What can you see when you resonate with these crop circles? How come there are so many questions about them if you can use resonant viewing to understand them?
Well, you know, resonant viewing gives us a lot of information about a lot of things, but it's not always so easy to interpret the results. If you're viewing an event in the future, or you can imagine people 100 years ago viewing something now, they might not know how to interpret the results. They didn't have computers 100 years ago, so if you were viewing a computer back then, you really wouldn't know what it was. Crop circles, in a lot of ways, are paradigm busters. They simply don't fit into any existing paradigm we have. If you think, you know, that they're all made by ET, I've got some friends I'd like you to meet.
Right.
And if you think they're all man-made, they're witnesses who've seen them happen very quickly around strange lights and things like that. So none of the boxes we try to fit crop circles in fit. It won't fit into the existing mechanistic paradigm. It doesn't fit into a three-dimensional paradigm. It's something from the future, and we're grasping at different ways of understanding it. But in the process, we're growing. We're expanding our sense of what we're capable of, our own abilities as humans, and intelligence that exists in the Earth and the universe that we might not have even imagined exist before.
I get that.
It's really causing us to expand, and that may be the whole purpose.
Okay.
And in the same sense, resonant viewing taps into these deeper, intuitive, creative abilities, which everybody has, but because of our conditioned, domesticated state that we've all been brought up in, and I think I've spent as much time in school as anyone, and I can say this honestly, there's a lot of things that we don't learn about that we should be learning about ourselves, about how our awareness works. We have a lot of power that we don't use.
Well, I love the thought of that, but allow me to go back to it one more time. We're talking about creating crop circles where you have been able to measure an increase in the energy within that circle, right? Or it changes even something like true north on a compass.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we know that something is happening there within that crop circle, even if it was human-created or extraterrestrial-created, something is happening in there, right? So we're tapping into a kind of energy that exists that's even bending the magnetic field, perhaps, okay? And yet, at the same time, then, in resonant viewing, you're also tapping into these existing energy paradigms where, as you said, it is almost as though everything is happening all at once, just at different levels. And you can tap into that with remote viewing.
Right, right.
One would think that just, boom, you put those two things together and you go and you do some resonant viewing within those crop circles, and you would be thinking that you'd just be kind of like exponentially increasing the power of one's resonant viewing, and they would just have that much more clarity about what's happening.
Well, you know, when we have viewed the circles with viewing, we've generally got a lot of extraterrestrial connection, which initially led me to believe that the extraterrestrials were literally creating these circles. I mean, all of them. But now what I believe is that it's humans' ability to contact perhaps extraterrestrials or some other intelligence through making the circles. In other words, the circles are a way to communicate back to the extraterrestrials rather than the extraterrestrials using them, making them to communicate with humans. So it really becomes like a two-way street. And the extraterrestrial connection is pretty strong in our viewing of the circles, but we also get a lot of other energies and my own sessions, things that I don't know exactly how to interpret them in, except to say they're anomalous energies and information. It's definitely something I think you could say, for lack of a better word, an interdimensional process. But let me just say that, you know, when you make a circle, you don't always get the effects every time. It doesn't happen every time. And that's what's interesting about it. One time, a circle will appear and it'll affect a magnetometer. The next nine circles you measure won't. Some of them don't have any effect on the static electricity meter, and some of them do. Some of them affect our cameras, and then you could go for a year and not see that effect again. So what's really intriguing about it, it's not repeatable in the way that conventional science likes to see repeatability. That's why it's at the edge of science, because we don't, you know, it's like we're dealing with a machine and we're twisting the knobs around the dials. We don't know exactly what's going to happen when we twist the knobs and the dials around. So it's like a machine from the future, an etheric machine, and we don't know exactly what it is. Is it the shape? Is it the location? The greenness of the crop, the weather, the sunlight, all those factors, and the intent of the people who go into it, even the people who visit it later. All of those, plus I'm sure many more things I haven't thought of, could affect the activity of the circle, the ability for it to do something, that we can actually see the result. We don't know, at least I don't know, and I don't think anyone really does, exactly what all those variables are.
Right.
And perhaps when we do, then it'll really be something where we can do it predictably. We can create it every time. And when we can create a circle that drains batteries, maybe we'll know how to create a circle that charges batteries.
Sure.
And we can feed it into the grid. And I'm not saying this to denigrate them, and like not to appreciate the wonderful artistic quality of them. It's just there's something else going on there that if we can tap into it, it's a lot like things you read nowadays with the field, the zero-point field, all of that.
Right.
If we can tap into it, but I'm sure it's going to come more through intuition than calculation, at least at the moment it looks that way. Because okay. The circle makers, when they make them, just use their intuition, but boy, sometimes they get it just right.
Ever had a remote viewing session within a crop circle where you got people together and actually did that within a crop circle?
When we go to England every year, we actually do some viewing training to make people aware of the types of energies they may encounter in the circle. And people have occasionally done some of those sessions in the circle. And
okay.
Sometimes you may do it, you know, informally, sit down and kind of let your mind wander.
Right.
And when you do that, sometimes you feel very strange things going on there, things that are hard to describe, contact with some other intelligence. You know, you almost feel like you're being watched when you're in the circle. It's kind of an eerie feeling. I know a lot of other people have had that experience. It's possible that that circle that we're creating, something is actually able to perceive us through the circle as if it's a lens.
Right.
That normally couldn't perceive us, and we can sense that a little bit, almost like when you're being stared at. You get that feeling in the circle. So,
I would just think that'd be an interesting experiment to do sometime, is get together 100 of the best, you know, resonant viewers with whom you're associated, and go and create a large crop circle somewhere in Kansas or Washington State or something. You go and create one, and then you have your next session right there.
It's a great idea.
Where it would seem to be there's some sort of weakening in the layers of the matrix.
Yes, right.
Okay.